Hello, good morning, church. How are we all today?
Blessed.
Thank you.
I'm going to do the reading for Mark. I loved it when he sent me the message because this is from my favourite book in the Bible. It's from Philippians chapter 4, and it's verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sylvia, and thank you to the worship team for leading us this morning. I think it is fair to say that all the songs that they sang today kind of shed light on everything that I'm going to talk about today. But shall we bow our heads and say a little prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our rock and our deliverer. We celebrate your goodness, Lord, and the mighty works that you do in our midst. I pray, Lord, that this morning you pour your spirit upon us as we listen and as we hear from you, Lord. And I stand here as a vessel to be used to bless your church. I'm not doing this on my own strength, Lord, but I'm relying on your spirit, your Holy Spirit, to lead me to bless your church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have a question, and I like always to start with a question. Let's look around us. What is going on around our world today? Now, if I ask you to describe in one word the world we live in, what would you say? I just want some brave volunteers, that's all. Broken? Chaos? Sorry? Turmoil, yes. Coming together, yeah, in the midst of turmoil. Amen. Beautiful, yes. Our world is beautiful. But are we taking care of our world? Anyway, the world we live in right now is rife with challenges and turmoil, like you've all said. And when we talk about peace, it seems like a distant memory, something that is really, really far away. But in today's world, finding peace for ourselves can be very elusive. And we can easily get caught in all the chaos that is going on. And that makes peacefulness something that becomes like a desire. But let me ask you a question again. Have you found yourself at a place where you feel you are deflated? And all you see is problems, going through struggles, or maybe dealing with or trying to manage sickness yourself or manage loved one's sickness. Do you ever feel like life or everything is meaningless? So we get up, we go to school or we go to work, we come home, we eat dinner, we watch TV, we drop to bed, we wake up, and then we do it all over again. It's just a continuous cycle. But can we imagine life like that, with no room for God to operate in our midst or in our lives? And sometimes we ask ourselves, does God even care about us? We have doubts sometimes about God, because life is hard. And when things are going well for us, we find it so easy to worship God, because things are going so well for us. But what about when things become a struggle, when life becomes hard? We get stressed, or when even our loved ones passes away, or when we are facing financial difficulties, or dealing with, for example, unemployment. Life can become unbearable in certain times of our lives. But let me quickly take you back to life 50 years ago. So 50 years ago, life had its own unique charm and simplicity Nothing was complicated. Communication, we were using our landline phones. Mobile phones were rare. Television was black and white. And I remember, if we want to catch a glimpse of color TV, we would use the Leucozade wrapper and put it in front of the television so we can get a bit of color in our TV. If only we knew that now we will be having color TV. You know, the selection of varying channels, they were so limited. Video games were simple. Transport, cars were less fuel efficient. You know, they often lacked safety features anyway. But air travel was more easily or less accessible and expensive. But things have changed now. Access to higher education there was limited, and the cost was even lower. Healthcare, medical advancements were fewer, and healthcare costs were even lower. Many jobs were into agriculture and manufacturing, but now jobs are all over the place, online, computer, electronics, you can sit at home and work from home. The average income was lower, the cost of living was lower, but now the cost of living is higher. Things have changed, and we have to recognize that. Our world that we live in has also changed. And the world that we live in is often filled with chaos. There's nothing we can do about that because God gives us our choice, and sometimes as humans, we choose the wrong things. There's uncertainty in the world, there is unrest. And whether it's even personal struggles or maybe global crisis, or just even the everyday stresses of life, it's easy for us to feel very overwhelmed. Yet, as believers, we have been called to a peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that doesn't depend on our circumstances. So this passage from Philippians, and I was trying to avoid preaching on this topic today, but it seemed like I didn't have a choice. Philippians provides a powerful prescription for living a life of joy, peace, and also contentment, even within life's challenges. Paul encourages the believers in Philippi to rejoice, to pray, and also to give thanks in all circumstances. He assures them that by doing so, they will experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So, beloved, let's open our hearts and minds to the truth of God's word as we explore how we can also experience God's peace that will guard our hearts and our minds even in the most difficult times that we face. When we look at today's society, yes, there are challenges, numerous uncertainties. But whilst praying throughout the week and seeking God's direction, I was led to consider this topic of peace and this very well-known verse, because I felt this is a very complicated verse and I didn't think I could do justice to it. I initially thought, you know, maybe let me do something from Mark and continue from where Daniel left. And I remember when I mentioned it to Daniel, Daniel was like, well, that would be great, but I couldn't do it. And for whatever reason, everything that I keep reading, research notes or the Bible or any columns and stuff, it all kept bringing me to this topic of peace. I'm sure by now you'd have guessed my topic for today. So, finding peace in our chaotic world. The world is indeed facing numerous challenges today. All of these are unprecedented in recent history. But here are some of the pressing global issues. We looked at 50 years ago. Let's look at something now. Climate change, rising temperatures, extreme weather events. We've seen loss of biodiversity and significant threats to our planet. We've seen ongoing conflicts. Turn your television on and it's all about the wars. trade wars, the rise of nationalism creating instability and uncertainty. The Global Peace Index 2024 has revealed that our world is at a crossroad. So there is a major risk of surges in conflict. 110 million people are either refugees or they are internally displaced due to violent conflict in our world. And 16 countries are hosting more than 500,000 of the world's population. The gap between the rich and the poor continues to widen, and this has led to a lot of social unrest. Pandemics, the emerging diseases, healthcare access, there's disparity. All these poses a significant challenge for us. We've seen rapid technological advancement. Whilst they offer opportunities, they also bring or raise concerns around job displacement, privacy, and also cybersecurity. We've also seen social issues all around. Inequality persists in many, many of our societies. That has also led to a lot of unrest. These challenges are not in isolation. They are all interconnected. And because they are interconnected, they are very difficult to address. But Apostle Paul wrote these words whilst he was in prison. Now, let's pause for a minute and put ourselves into Paul's situation. Paul speaks of peace, joy, and the freedom from anxiety. Beloved, I don't know how many of you have followed Paul, but Paul was in prison, he was in chain, his wrist to his legs, he's been chained. He faced torture in prison. He was beaten. He had very little food. The prison had poor ventilation. So Paul had gone through all these sufferings. And yet still, Paul can speak of joy and freedom from anxiety. And we know from somewhere in the Bible that Paul went through a period of anxiety and depression. But let's break down the passage a little bit and uncover a little bit of relevance for ourselves. Rejoice in the Lord always. Talking about joy in the midst of our trials. So Paul is commanding us, and don't forget about Paul's experiences, to rejoice always. Not just when life is good, but in every situation of our lives. A call in a world that often emphasizes sorrow or even worry or sometimes discontentment. But in today's world, it is so easy for us to lose joy amid of the stress of work, family, finances, struggle, health chaos, and even chaos in our world. But yet, Paul is calling us to rejoice, an invitation not to ignore the pain, but also to recognize that our joy is anchored in the Lord and not in the circumstances that we are facing. That is why Paul can boldly say that despite my suffering, I find joy and peace in Christ. It is a joy that sustains us in difficult times. But this true joy is rooted in our relationship with God. You can't just say that you've got joy. You have to have faith and believe in the joy that you get from God. It is a deep-seated contentment that cannot be shaken by any external circumstances. But joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, as we will see in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And this fruit of the Spirit is promised to believers of Christ. Joy is also a powerful antidote to our anxiety, our fear, and our despair. Joy actually strengthens our faith. It improves our relationship and gives us a very positive outlook in our life. Paul is encouraging us to find this joy in the Lord. The foundation of peace that surpasses every understanding. But joy doesn't just come. We have to seek it. It requires an intentional effort from our part to focus on the goodness of God. Joy is a journey, and it is not a destination. It may not always be easy to find, but when we seek God and we focus our love on God, we can experience that lasting joy from God. You know, for example, when we lose our jobs, the natural response is for us to worry, because how are you going to pay your bills? And you are gripped with fear. But Paul is asking us to shift that focus from ourselves and put it onto God. So we can rejoice despite the fact that we are unemployed, that God is faithful and God always promises us that He will provide for us. Now, we shouldn't confuse this with lazy Christianity. If you are unemployed, and I had a friend who has been unemployed for 2 years, and anytime I bumped into him, all he says is that, "I'm praying, I'm waiting upon the Lord." And I said, "You can't wait upon the Lord by not doing something. You can't sit in your room and pray and say that God will provide me with a job when actually you don't go out there and look for the job, or you don't connect with people who can help you find a job." So sometimes, you know, we might say that we don't even know what's going to happen to our lives next. But by faith, we have to keep trusting. And we have to keep rejoicing, because we know that God worketh good for us. Verse 5, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." This is what I call the gentle witness. So Paul instructs believers to let their gentleness be evident to all. It's a call for us to be patient, to be kind, and understanding with others, showing that Christ-like character in our everyday interaction and everything that we do. In a fast-paced and often the harsh world that we live in, you know, social media, politics, and even some personal relationship, all of these can be arenas of conflict and sharp words for us. But yet, as followers of Christ, we are called to reflect on the spirit of peace and calmness, and trusting that God is near and God can handle justice in our society. So our testimony to the world is not just our words, but it is also in our character. We have to show that patience and grace, even in times of conflict. And we have to model that love that Christ has got for us. So comes my question, but I'm not going to expect any answer from you. How can we as a church be more gracious to each other and even to our community? How can this gentleness become a hallmark of our witness in a world that is filled with so much anxiety and division? I want you to reflect on it. But let me quickly move on to verse 6, which says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Now, Paul, who have witnessed anxiety, who have witnessed depression, is beginning to address anxiety here. Anxiety is a feeling that we can all relate to. I don't know anybody here who hasn't had anxious moments. If you want to raise your hand. Oh, we've got one. You must be very lucky. So we can all relate to this, especially in the chaotic world that we live in. But let's be cautious here. Paul is not trivializing our worries. But Paul is inviting us to shift our focus from the anxiety to our deeper trust in God. And of course, this has to follow the faith that we have. So anxiety is natural, we know that. But it can lead to a cycle of stress and worry, or even sometimes depression. And Paul offers a way out of this cycle by encouraging believers to trust God with their concerns. We are often consumed by anxiety because we always feel that we need to control our own circumstances. You know, sometimes we tell God that, hang on, God, I can handle this myself. God, I'm just going through a little bit of a patch. I'll be fine. And we take everything out of God's hands. And I'm guilty. But Paul's directive here is very clear and is direct. Don't let anxiety or worry consume us. Again, Paul is not saying that we should ignore the problems or pretend that it doesn't exist. But rather, it is a call for us to trust in God's sovereignty and in God's provision. So if we have a problem, we have to seek solution. You pray about it and you also seek solution. We are encouraged to trust God and avoid worrying too much about our circumstances. So I mentioned before, I used to have a colleague at work who comes to work all worked up already in the morning. And he comes and be like, Mark, did you listen to the news? This is happening. And he will mess up our whole day even before we start. And I'm thinking, you can't continue to do that. Just don't watch the TV. Just don't listen to the news. Or choose a time that you listen to the news and not when you are about to come to work. So we have to surrender our anxiety to him and we have to seek God's guidance. And then we can experience a more fulfilling and joyful life. It is also important for us to consider the nature of our anxiety and the root cause. I'm not preaching about anxiety and depression today. So there are common fears and anxieties. For example, the fear of the unknown. You know, uncertainty about the future can lead us to anxiety. When we fear that we have no control over our circumstances, it can be a breeding ground for anxiety. The fear of failure, you know, worrying about not meeting our expectations or even achieving our goals in life. Oh, I'm 25, I'm 40 years now, and I haven't done anything for myself. The fear of rejection or being abandoned by others. The fear of loss, anxiety about losing loved ones, anxiety sometimes even about possessions or even our status. The fear of illness and death. You know, sometimes we can be faced with overwhelming challenges and it can be so easy for us to feel helpless. Many of us have lost loved ones and this can affect us in so many ways. It can affect our mental health. It can affect our physical health. It can lead us to social isolation, you know, loneliness. Grief can cause us to withdraw from a lot of things that we do. I have visited a few friends who have lost loved ones in the past. And I recently visited a church member who has also lost a loved one. And I did feel their pain. It just reminded me of when the phone call came that my father had passed away. It was so painful. It felt like I couldn't breathe because I thought about all the things that I'm going to miss out. Even when my exams results comes and I have 98%, my dad would say that there's more room for improvement. And I missed those conversations or maybe go for a little bit of a walk. I'm thinking, Dad, I had 98%. It's like there's still room for improvement. But as painful as it is, we all know that death is not our final destination. Sometimes concerns about our health or the health of loved ones, sometimes addiction, relationship difficulties, you know, traumatic events, violence, or the burden of sin, the guilt, all of this can lead to anxiety and sometimes to helplessness. The what ifs, you know, our minds can be consumed by, oh, the what if scenario. And all of this can lead to worry and stress for us. Oh, if I don't get this job, I won't be able to pay my rent. If I don't do this, I won't be able to see that. Self-doubt, doubting in our abilities or even our wealth can contribute to anxiety. Doubting God's love for us, God's care and the power can also be a source of anxiety for us. Our lack of faith in the Lord, our lack of faith in the plans that God has got for us can lead to fear and a source of anxiety. Sometimes we can feel a sense of this helplessness. You know, we can be feel overwhelmed by responsibilities or the demands can also lead to anxiety. But Paul commands us not to be anxious about anything, but instead he provides a solution. But in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, we should present our request to God. So the antidote to our anxiety is found in turning our worries over to God through prayer. And this is not just about presenting our request to God, but we have to do so with thanksgiving. Trust that God cares and hears us. Sometimes we have to reach a point where we have to say to ourselves that we can't do it on our own. Paul mentioned prayer and supplication. These are powerful tools for dealing with anxiety and worry. Paul is talking about or emphasizing on the power of prayer and encouraging us that we should turn our worry. You know, no matter how small or large it is, let's turn these worries into prayer and let's bring them to God. Prayer is our direct line to God. It's a way for us to lay down that burden, you know, and just seek His guidance. But importantly, Paul says our approach to prayer must come with recognizing that our gratitude have to shift our perspective from just focusing on our problems, but also acknowledging the goodness of God and His faithfulness in our lives. So even in the midst of our difficulties, we are encouraged to give thanks to God. So when it comes to prayer, we can never have enough of prayer, can we? We are encouraged to join a community of faith, you know, worship together, pray together, and also pray with others who share our faith, find support and encouragement from our fellow believers. In challenging times, this will be a source of inspiration for us, and we need to incorporate prayer into our daily lives. We must make prayer and supplication relevant to our own life and our own experiences. And that helps us to bring that deeper connection between ourselves and God. I like this song. I learned it when I was 11 years old. You know, when my dad passed away, I was 11. And I went through a patch where I felt like I lost everything. But then 2 years later, when I was 13, I went to a church and this topic was preached about finding peace from God. And that was the day I learned this song. And it's, I think it's a very familiar song. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Psalm 100 verse 5 encourages us to approach our God with gratitude and adoration. Presenting our request to God. Again, Paul asks us to share our burdens with God. So no matter how overwhelming we feel with our struggles, God is saying, I am ready to listen to you. God is saying to us, he's ready to listen to us. Are we carrying any burdens today? God is inviting us to release those burdens. And I want to encourage all of us to spend some time in prayer this week and turn those burdens to God. Let's also practice thanking God for his constant provisions in our life, even in seasons of uncertainty. Revelation 3 verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. Are we actively seeking his presence and listening to God's voice? The final thing I want to touch on is the peace of God, which transcends all understanding in verse 7. Experiencing God's supernatural peace. This is a promise that when we turn to God in prayer and when we lay our anxiety, that peace will guard our hearts and our minds. So we're not talking about just a psychological comfort, but this is a spiritual reality. It is an inner calm that doesn't always make sense to the world, because the world cannot understand that peace. And God's peace is also superior. The peace that is offered from God is a sense of an assurance, even when we are facing turmoil. For some of us, maybe we are trying to experience peace without God, who gives this peace to us. It is practically impossible for us to do that. We live in a world that is always constantly seeking peace. You know, the peace that the world gives comes from self-help or maybe material security. But often this is only a temporary relief, or it just provides a temporary solution. But Paul speaks of a peace that goes beyond our human understanding, a peace that comes from trusting the God who cares about us. So let's explore a little bit about the nature of God's peace. The transcendent peace beyond human understanding. So we know the peace that God offers us surpasses all our ability and is fully comprehensible. It's not just a peace that he gives to us in the absence of conflict, but it is a deep-seated tranquility that goes even beyond our human experience. It is a peace that you experience when all other peace fails. Divine gift. This peace is a gift from God. It is freely given, but only to those who trust in him. Stability and security. The peace provides a protection for us, even in the midst of our life's challenges. We receive God's peace through prayer and this supplication, and we open ourselves to his peace. Gratitude also plays a vital role in receiving God's peace, because what does it do? it acknowledges God's goodness and his sovereignty in our lives. But the peace that God gives us is different to the peace that the world gives us. So the biblical peace, which is shalom, is just more than the absence of conflict. It's a holistic sense of our well-being, completeness, harmony with God and also with others. So Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So the peace that is offered to us is a transcending one, and it is not a temporary one. So our world peace can often be transient, and world peace also depends on external circumstances. So we can enjoy peace in the world, and the moment conflict comes, that peace is gone. And that is not the peace that God gives us. And the world often defines peace in terms of maybe quiet moments, or maybe when there is absence of trouble, or when we are achieving our life goals. Yeah, the world sees this as peace. But all of this are temporary, because God's peace is eternal. God's peace is lasting. And God's peace is transformative. It has the power to transform our lives and also to give us strength and hope. And we know that God's peace overcomes our fears. So a few scriptures. Isaiah 26, verse 3, "Those of steadfast mind you will keep in perfect peace because they trust in you." Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth." And the favorite one for many of you, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give us hope and a future." Again, when we look in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 34, Jesus is teaching about not worrying about food, clothing, or even shelter, and actually trusting on his provision. John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Colossians 3, verse 15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which you were called as members of one body, and be thankful." And finally, John 16, verse 33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So there's no comparison when it comes to the peace that God offers us and the peace that we find in the world. So this is an invitation for us to reflect on moments in our lives where we have experienced God's peace. And even when peace seems impossible, we know that we can always trust in the God who provides us with this peace. In concluding, I just want to say, Philippians chapter 4, or the text that we've read, is a powerful reminder for how we can follow Christ in the chaotic world that we live in. So Paul's words offer a road map for us that helps us to reach the destination that we want to go. Finding the peace in our troubled world is only possible when we anchor ourselves in God. The key here is not to escape the problems that the world presents to us, but to live in the assurance that the peace that God provides us will guard our hearts regardless of our circumstances, even regardless of anything that we face, that we will have that faith and trust and depend on God. May we be a people or a congregation that is known for the joy and the peace and the gentleness which reflects the love and the power of Christ in all the things that we do. May we be committed to living it out and not just hearing about it. May we take Jesus' words to heart. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." God bless you all, and thank you.